Welcome to the Daily Radio Bible. Today is Wednesday. It's May the 17th, day 137 in our journey through the Bible. Hello to everyone out there. My name's Hunter, and we are doing what we do every day. We're spending a little time in God's Word. We're letting God's Word spend a little time on us. You know how we need that, no doubt about that. Well, if you're new here today, just want to welcome you. You know, we try and keep things very simple here. We simply read through the scriptures, and over the course of a year, we will read through the Old Testament once and the New Testament twice. And maybe in that process, we'll experience something new, some change and transformation. And, you know, I don't believe that change comes simply by having more information. I believe that change comes from an encounter with God, by knowing Him, by being known by Him, and, well, I also believe that the Word of God has a huge role in that process of transformation in our lives, and so we give ourselves to it now. As we look into His Word, it's 1 Kings chapter 2, 1 Chronicles 29, Psalm 95, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're reading through the New Living Translation. Let's jump right in here. 1 Kings chapter 2. David's final instructions to Solomon. As the time of King David's death approached, he gave this charge to his son Solomon. I'm going where everyone on earth must someday go. Take courage and be a man. Observe the requirements of the Lord your God and follow all his ways. Keep the decrees, commands, regulations, and laws written in the law of Moses, so that you will be successful in all you do and wherever you go. If you do this, then the Lord will keep the promise he made to me. He told me if your descendants live as they should and follow me faithfully with all their heart and soul, one of them will always sit on the throne of Israel. And there's something else. You know what Joab, son of Zeruiah, did to me when he murdered my two army commanders, Abner, son of Ner, and Amasa, son of Jether. He pretended that it was an act of war, but it was done in a time of peace, staining his belt and sandals with innocent blood. Do with him what you think best, but don't let him grow old and go to his grave in peace. Be kind to the sons of Barzillai of Gilead. Make them permanent guests at your table, for they took care of me when I fled from your brother Absalom. And remember Shemaiah, son of Gera, the man from Barum, and Benjamin. He cursed me with the terrible curse as I was fleeing to Mahanaim. When he came down to meet me at the Jordan River, I swore by the Lord that I would not kill him. But that oath does not make him innocent. You are a wise man, and you will know how to arrange a bloody death for him. Then David died and was buried with his ancestors in the city of David. David had reigned over Israel for 40 years, 7 of them in Hebron and 33 in Jerusalem. Solomon became king and sat on the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was firmly established. One day Adonijah, whose mother was Haggith, came to see Bathsheba, Solomon's mother. "Have you come with peaceful intentions?" she asked him. "Yes," he said, "I come in peace. In fact, I have a favor to ask of you." "What is it?" she asked. He replied, "As you know, the kingdom was rightfully mine. All Israel wanted me to be the next king, but the tables were turned, and the kingdom went to my brother instead, for that is the way the Lord wanted it. So now I have just one favor to ask of you. Please don't turn me down." "What is it?" she asked. He replied, "Speak to King Solomon on my behalf, for I know he will do anything you request. Ask him to let me marry Abishag, the girl from Shunem." "All right," Bathsheba replied, "I will speak to the king for you." So Bathsheba went to King Solomon to speak on Adonijah's behalf. The king rose from his throne to meet her, and he bowed down before her. When he sat down on his throne again, the king ordered that the throne be brought for his mother, and she sat at his right hand. "I have one small request to make of you," she said. "I hope you won't turn me down." "What is it, my mother?" he asked. "You know I won't refuse you." "Then let your brother Adonijah marry Abishag, the girl from Shunem," she replied. "How can you possibly ask me to give Abishag to Adonijah?" King Solomon demanded. "You might as well ask me to give him the kingdom. You know that he is my older brother, and that he has Abiathar the priest and Joab son of Zeruiah on his side. Then King Solomon made a vow before the Lord, may God strike me and even kill me if Adonijah has not sealed his fate with this request. The Lord has confirmed me and placed me on the throne of my father David. He has established my dynasty as he has promised. So as surely as the Lord lives, Adonijah will die this very day. So King Solomon ordered Benaiah son of Jehoiada to execute him, and Adonijah was put to death. Then the king said to Abiathar the priest, go back to your home in Anathoth. You deserve to die. But I will not kill you now, because you carried the ark of the sovereign Lord for David my father, and you shared in all his hardships. So Solomon deposed Abiathar from the position as priest of the Lord, thereby fulfilling the prophecy the Lord had given at Shiloh concerning the descendants of Eli. Joab had not joined Absalom's earlier rebellion, but he had joined Adonijah's rebellion. So when Joab heard about Adonijah's death, he ran to the sacred tent of the Lord and grabbed onto the horns of the altar. When this was reported to King Solomon, he sent Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, to execute him. Benaiah went to the sacred tent of the Lord and said to Joab, the king orders you to come out. But Joab answered, no, I will die here. So Benaiah returned to the king and told him what Joab had said. Do as he said, the king replied. Kill him there beside the altar and bury him. This will remove the guilt of Joab's senseless murder from me and from my father's family. The Lord will repay him for the murders of the two men who are more righteous and better than he. For my father knew nothing about the deaths of Abner, son of Ner, commander of the army of Israel, and Amasa, son of Jether, commander of the army of Judah. May their blood be on Joab and his descendants forever, and may the Lord grant peace forever to David, his descendants, his dynasty, and his throne. So Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, returned to the sacred tent and killed Joab, and he was buried at his home in the wilderness. Then the king appointed Benaiah to command the army in the place of Joab, and he installed Zadok the priest in the place of Abiathar. The king then sent for Shemaiah and told him, build a house here in Jerusalem and live here, but don't step outside the city to go anywhere else. On the day you so much as cross the Kidron Valley, you will surely die, and your blood will be on your own head. Shemaiah replied, your sentence is fair. I will do whatever my lord the king commands. So Shemaiah lived in Jerusalem for a long time. But 3 years later, two of Shemaiah's slaves ran away to King Achish, son of Maacah of Gath. When Shemaiah learned where they were, he saddled his donkey and went to Gath to search for them. When he found them, he brought them back to Jerusalem. Solomon heard that Shemaiah had left Jerusalem and had gone to Gath and returned. So the king sent for Shemaiah and demanded, didn't I make you swear by the Lord and warn you not to go anywhere else, or you would surely die? And you replied, the sentence is fair. I will do as you say. Then why haven't you kept your oath to the Lord and obeyed my command? The king also said to Shemaiah, you certainly remember all the wicked things you did to my father David. May the Lord now bring that evil on your own head. But may I, King Solomon, receive the Lord's blessings, and may one of David's descendants sit on this throne in the presence of the Lord. Then at the king's command, Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, took Shemaiah outside and killed him. So the kingdom was now firmly in Solomon's grip. 1 Chronicles 29, Gifts for Building the Temple. Then King David turned to the entire assembly and said, my son Solomon, whom God has clearly chosen as the next king of Israel, is still young and inexperienced. The work ahead of him is enormous, for the temple he will build is not for mere mortals. It is for the Lord God himself. Using every resource at my command, I have gathered as much as I could for building the temple of my God. Now there is enough gold, silver, bronze, iron, and wood, as well as a great quantity of onyx, other precious stones, costly jewels, and all kinds of fine stone and marble. And now, because of my devotion to the temple of my God, I am giving all my own private treasures of gold and silver to help in the construction. This is in addition to the building materials I have already collected for his holy temple. I am donating more than 112 tons of gold from Ophir and 262 tons of refined silver to be used for overlaying the walls of the buildings and for the other gold and silver work to be done by the craftsmen. Now then, who will follow my example and give offerings to the Lord today? Then the family leaders, the leaders of the tribes of Israel, the generals and captains of the army, and the king's administrative officers all gave willingly. For the construction of the temple of God, they gave about 188 tons of gold, 10,000 gold coins, 375 tons of silver, 675 tons of bronze, and 3,750 tons of iron. They also contributed numerous precious stones, which were deposited in the treasury of the house of the Lord under the care of Jehiel, a descendant of Gershon. The people rejoiced over the offerings, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. And King David was filled with joy. Then David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. O Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel, may you be praised forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. Wealth and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion people are made great and given strength. O our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and who are my people, that we could give anything to you? Everything we have has come from you, and we give you only what you first gave us. We are here for only a moment, visitors and strangers in the land, as our ancestors were before us. Our days on earth are like a passing shadow, gone soon without a trace. O Lord our God, even this material we have gathered to build a temple to honor your holy name comes from you. It all belongs to you. I know, my God, that you examine our hearts and rejoice when you find integrity there. You know I have done all this with good motives, and I have watched your people offer their gifts willingly and joyously. O Lord, the God of our ancestor Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, make your people always want to obey you. See to it that their love for you never changes. Give my son Solomon the wholehearted desire to obey all your commands, laws, and decrees, and to do everything necessary to build this temple for which I have made these preparations. Then David said to the whole assembly, give praise to the Lord your God. And the entire assembly praised the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and they bowed low and knelt before the Lord and the king. The next day they brought 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 male lambs as burnt offerings to the Lord. They also brought liquid offerings and many other sacrifices on behalf of all Israel. They feasted and drank in the Lord's presence with great joy that day, and again they crowned David's son Solomon as their new king. They anointed him before the Lord as their leader, and they anointed Zadok as priest. So Solomon took the throne of the Lord in place of his father David, and he succeeded in everything, and all Israel obeyed him. All the officials, the warriors, and the sons of King David pledged their loyalty to King Solomon. And the Lord exalted Solomon in the sight of all Israel, and he gave Solomon greater royal splendor than any king in Israel before him. So David, son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel. He reigned over Israel for 40 years, 7 of them in Hebron, 33 in Jerusalem. He died at a ripe old age, having enjoyed long life, wealth, and honor. Then his son Solomon ruled in his place. All the events of King David's reign, from the beginning to end, are written in the record of Samuel the seer, the record of Nathan the prophet, and the record of Gath the seer. These accounts include the mighty deeds of his reign and everything that happened to him and to Israel and to all the surrounding kingdoms. Psalm 95. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to him, for the Lord is a great God, a great king above all gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. The sea belongs to him, for he made it. His hands formed the dry land too. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people he watches over, the flock under his care. If only you would listen to his voice today. The Lord says, don't harden your hearts as Israel did at Meribah, as they did at Massah in the wilderness. For there your ancestors tested and tried my patience, even though they saw everything I did. For 40 years, I was angry with them, and I said, they are a people whose hearts turn away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them. So in my anger, I took an oath. They will never enter my place of rest. First Thessalonians chapter 1, greetings from Paul. This letter is from Paul, Silas, and Timothy. We are writing to the church in Thessalonica, to you who belong to God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Dear brothers and sisters, we can't help but thank God for you because your faith is flourishing and your love for one another is growing. We proudly tell God's other churches about your endurance and faithfulness and all the persecutions and hardships you are suffering. And God will use this persecution to show his justice and to make you worthy of his kingdom for which you are suffering. In his justice, he will pay back those who persecute you. And God will provide rest for you who are being persecuted and also for us when the Lord Jesus appears from heaven. He will come with his mighty angels in flaming fire, bringing judgment on those who don't know God and on those who refuse to obey the good news of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with eternal destruction, forever separated from the Lord and from his glorious power. When he comes on that day, he will receive glory from his holy people, praise from all who believe. And this includes you, for you believed what we told you about him. So we keep on praying for you, asking our God to enable you to live a life worthy of his call. May he give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. Then the name of our Lord Jesus will be honored because of the way you live, and you will be honored along with him. This is all made possible because of the grace of our God and Lord, Jesus Christ. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Faith prompts, his power accomplishes. That's what we read here in verse 11. May he give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. Faith prompts, but he has the power to accomplish. It's not me who prompts and me who accomplishes. David learned this. David learned that faith prompted him to build a temple, a house for God. But it wasn't to be done in the power of David. No, it was to be accomplished by the power of his son, by Solomon. His faith was at work, prompting him to gather and to give all that was necessary for the cause, but it would be done, accomplished, through the power of the Son, through Solomon. And the same is true for our lives. We are prompted by faith to respond to God's leading in our life, his plans for us, for our life, for our futures, but it's not our power that it will be accomplished through. It's the power of the Son. Not Solomon the Son, but someone far greater than Solomon. The power to accomplish comes from him. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, "The one who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it." And so the prayer of my heart today is that I will respond to the promptings of faith. But even more so, that I will allow the power of God to accomplish all that he desires for me in this life. Faith prompts, his power accomplishes. That's the prayer for my own soul today, that I will respond to the stirrings of faith and allow the power of God, Christ in me, to accomplish all that God has purposed for me. That's a prayer I have for my family too, for my wife, my daughters, my son. And that's a prayer I have for you. May it be so. DailyRadioBible.com, that's where we hang our hat out here in the interwebs. And it is always such a great thing to hear from you, to find out a little bit about you, who you are, where you're from, how you stumbled upon this podcast. So if you got a moment, take it, let a brother know. It'll bless you, and it will certainly bless me, no doubt about that. Hey, speaking of that, I want to send a shout out to some folks out there, to Patricia Nadal, who is going through her second year in her journey through the Bible here with the DRB. Patricia, my friend, blessings on you, and what an honor it is to be on this journey with you. The same goes to Mary Mallory, and to Susan Lindquist Johnson, and to all of you, as a matter of fact. What a joy, what an absolute privilege this is to spend time in God's Word with you each day. You know, we don't have to do this thing alone, and that's why we do this podcast, is to come alongside folks and let them know, hey, we are here, we're doing it with you, and let's see what God will do in our lives as we turn to Him and His Word each day. Hey, I want to thank you for sharing the app. I did a little survey yesterday, as some of you have noticed. You saw that little notification come through as you opened up the app. The question I asked in the survey was, how did you find us? How did you stumble upon this podcast? And one of the biggest results was by a friend. A friend told me about the app. That was 36.5% of the respondents as of right now. The only one that was bigger than that was 38.5%. So almost neck and neck there with a search on iTunes. So your sharing it with friends is a huge reason why so many people are here listening each day. And I want to encourage you to continue to share this app with your friends. Let folks know that you're on a journey in the Word and they can join you. So many people are out there that are hungry for the Word of God and they just need a little encouragement each day. And that's what this community is all about. You can play a part of that story in people's lives. So consider sharing the app today. Another thing I'd invite you to do would be to sign up for our newsletter. We send this out via email about once a month, and in it you'll find out the happenings and whatnots of the Daily Radio Bible. You'll hear about and see and be able to order our new t-shirt. You'll also hear when we hit the road, and if we're in your neck of the woods, we would love to connect with you, to say hi, to pray with each other, to encourage each other. Oh, how we need that, no doubt about that. So consider signing up for our newsletter. Let's keep at it. Hey, we've done it again. We have spent another day in the Bible, and I plan on being back here again tomorrow to do the same thing. Lord willing and the creek don't rise, I fully intend to be here sitting at this makeshift desk in the basement of my house in the Queen City of Cincinnati, Ohio. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let His joy be our strength. Let's remember this, that you, me, we are loved. Hallelujah. All right, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You take care.